Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
P&E.
What's P&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! You better put them hands together.
Put them together for Monday on B&E. That is right. Hope you had a great weekend. It was good if you're a Longhorn fan. Not so much if you're a Red Raider or Aggie fan or Iowa State. And it almost wasn't good, Buck, if you were a Oklahoma Sooner fan. They had a dogfight with West Virginia as a heavy favorite. Second time in a row they've been a heavy favorite, Nebraska and West Virginia, and ended up in a one-possession game and a nail-biter.
Jumped all over that 17-point game.
Yeah,
I was like,
smart
of you. Kidding me?
And did you hear the crowd in the second quarter of this game when Spencer Rattler and the Oklahoma offense were struggling to move the football?
That was a bad look.
Listen to this. Listen to this. You need to know that the backup quarterback for Oklahoma is a kid named Caleb Williams. He's a five-star recruit himself. And here was the Sooner faithful.
Something after he threw that interception, yep, here in Norman.
Take a listen. The chant is, we want Caleb.
As in Caleb Williams, the backup quarterback.
True freshman.
Who was the number one ranked high school,
wow,
dual threat quarterback in the nation. He didn't play last year in the school that he played. They didn't play football.
There we
but
go.
But he's a very, very talented.
Talk about turning on your Heisman candidate.
Yeah, they're 4-0, and they just haven't hit their stride because they can't run the ball. They can throw it. He overthrows some guys, and their receivers aren't getting that open. And that defense, I know one thing, when Texas plays them in 2 weeks, you can't let number 11 wreck your game. That guy, no matter what
Bonito.
You think, that dude is fast off the corner. He can't be the game wrecker. You're going to have to chip him or do something with the tight ends with that dude because – he can cause your quarterback to cough it up on the backside. He can go. Now, the rest of some of those guys, it surprised me they can't really run the ball. They haven't really found their runner to get it cranking in that, you know, that offensive line that had been getting so good at Oklahoma doesn't look like very much right now.
Yeah, they do not look dominating, that's for sure.
But guess what? They're undefeated.
But they're 4-0.
Yes.
And battle-tested at some level, where that's the next thing you need to figure out about Texas because they're blowing people out at home. They'll go on the road to TCU.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see them in a dogfight here at some point and how they respond to that and how Casey Thompson reacts. You know, I think he'll be fine.
It's been in a dogfight. It was at Fayetteville. That was
that was a smothering.
That was a dogfight, all right.
And we saw how
but there
went.
Was only one dog.
And they certainly have gotten better since that game.
Yes.
And what a lot of people believe was the right quarterback is now starting for Texas and leading this team. But one other piece of audio before we get to our headlines. Maybe the greatest shot in Ryder Cup history yesterday or over the weekend with Bryson DeChambeau on the massive par 5 that he went right, he cut the corner essentially, 417 feet downwind over the water. And you can see the diagram on our screen here of where he took the shot and where normally guys play this shot. Can we hear a little audio of this of Bryson Boom Boom DeChambeau?
Bums away for Bryson, pegged up high. Gonna let it fly. The waggle tells you everything you need to know here.
He's going over the gallery's heads here.
No, that's not real. That is unbelievable. What a drive from Bryce.
That's from the BBC coverage of it. And he had to hit it over the gallery. Like he had to hit it directly at the crowd.
Boy, you're hoping that thing never hits you. That thing was up and gone and moving, too.
And then yesterday, for the individual match, he showed up and on the first hole, the crowd's going crazy. It's one of the early matches. And this dude drives the green. 415 to the pin. 315 to the pin, and he drives or 350. He drives the green and then nails a 41-foot eagle putt on the first hole, which set the tone for the entire day for USA yesterday.
He was a really good teammate. He looked like he was really into it with his partners all weekend.
He was.
And Brooksy was, you know, Brooksy was Brooksy. He's still kind of salty.
But, yeah, Brooksy, he played well, though. Actually played great. The whole U.S. side played great.
And now Bryson goes into a long drive contest
now. I
know.
That's hilarious. He's going to Utah. He said he's flying out today. He's going to the World Long Drive Competition in Utah. So while preparing for the Ryder Cup, he was also preparing for the Boom Boom Drives. That's with a different piece of equipment.
He's getting a big long stick out now. He about to go long dong right now.
That is awesome.
It out, so.
I wonder if that's on television somewhere. I'll watch that. I like watching.
Oh, of course.
That is awesome. Bryson with the big stick. That was cool. But Dustin Johnson was the best American. He was 5-0. 5-0. Joined a very elite list of players who have, in the history of the Ryder Cup, who have won all 5 points over the weekend. Played in all sessions and won them all. Dustin Johnson was great this weekend. All right, let's get to the rest of the headlines, the trending topics as you're up and out on your Wednesday, starting a new work week. Top Gun, Lawn Equipment Rentals bring you the news. You know that in the 8 o'clock hour. And we also know the Longhorns are now 3-1. 3-0 dominant performances at home so far for the Longhorns. They wrecked Tech on Saturday, 70-35. Casey Thompson continues to move the football team and score points. Casey with 303 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 of them to the young freshman Xavier Worthy, who continues to emerge in that Longhorn offense. Thompson now has led Texas, by the way. Casey has to points on 20 of his last 23 drives. 19 of those are touchdowns, and his head coach is pretty happy about it.
You know, obviously offensively, I thought our offensive line played a really good football game against a disruptive defense. You know, I thought we got the ball and we ran the football well. Thought that we were efficient in the passing game. We're still so close on a couple of these deep balls that we just haven't quite hit yet, you know. But, we'll keep taking our shots. Again, the red zone efficiency was really good. I thought offensively, you know, we really stayed ahead of the chains. You know, we won on first down, which enabled us to get into some really manageable third downs, and then even in some of the fourth and short situations, you know, to be really effective. And that's when we're at our best offensively.
They certainly at their best on Saturday. Longhorns still not ranked in the top 25, but hardly matters. They go to Fort Worth this week to face TCU. Horned Frogs coming off a 42-34 loss to SMU Saturday. We'll hear more from Coach Sark this morning, 11 o'clock, his weekly news conference. New AP top 25 is out. Plenty of change. Nothing at the top. Alabama, Georgia, Oregon still 1-2-3. Penn State 4. Oklahoma 6, despite their narrow win over West Virginia on Saturday. Arkansas enters the top 10 after their big win over Texas A&M on Saturday. They're at number 8. Notre Dame at 9. They'll face 7th-ranked Cincinnati this week in South Bend. Undefeated Oklahoma State and Baylor, by the way, out of the Big 12, have both entered the poll at 19-21. Cowboys beat K-State on Saturday. Baylor upset Iowa State. How about the NFL Week 3? Plenty of great finishes. You had last-second field goal wins across the board. How about Daniel Carlson for the Raiders in overtime to beat the Dolphins? Georgetown's Mason Crosby last night nailed a 61-yard field goal at the gun to put Green Bay past San Francisco 30-28. And in the finish of the day yesterday in Motown, in Detroit, former Longhorn Justin Tucker, it was Lamar Jackson, first of all, completed a 4th-and-21 pass that set the Ravens, who were trailing, up for an opportunity for a 66-yard game-winning field goal.
On its way. It bounces off the crossbar, and it's good!
That's amazing. From CBS Sports yesterday, Greg Gumbel with the call. Also yesterday, 3 teams in the NFL improved to 3-0. L.A. Rams roll past the defending champion Buccaneers 34-24. Matthew Stafford, 4 more touchdown passes. Arizona's unbeaten. They beat Jacksonville. Denver is unbeaten, 3-0. They beat the winless Jets. Broncos are 3-0, but the teams they've beaten are combined 0-9. But they're sitting atop the division right now. In baseball, big weekend for Bucky's New York Yankees. They went ahead and swept the Red Sox this weekend at Fenway Park. Giancarlo Stanton had a huge weekend. Yankees now sit atop the American League wild card race with the final week of the regular season on tap. Boston is 1 game back. Toronto is 2 back. Astros got swept in Oakland this weekend. Their magic number is still sitting at 2 to win the AL West. And a big night at Q2 Stadium. Austin FC snapped their month-long losing skid. They beat the LA Galaxy 2-0. They'll be in Colorado Wednesday.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Football's back. Come do your end zone dance after you buy or rent the equipment you need and win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio or Blanton's Whiskey. TopGun.net will shoot you straight.
All right, so this guy says, obviously you didn't see that Ryder Cup shot by Jordan Spieth when he hit the ball 75 feet in the air and almost fell into Lake Michigan. No, I saw it. That was on Friday.
I'd have broke both my ankles, and my other knee would have dislocated on that move coming down that hill
that he made when he stopped. That was, I mean, you know how when your momentum gets going, and then
he was backpedaling that first down that hill.
I know. And it was,
all you had to do is get a misstep somewhere there.
I mean,
broke your leg.
Remember when Tony Finau broke his ankle at the Masters running backwards like that, and he was on smooth, what we saw was smooth terrain?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jordan was pretty agile in that move. And yeah, the ball landed like 10 feet away. But, you know, 420-foot drive, clearing the par three, cutting the corner was just pretty ridiculous. And somebody mentioned that Dustin Johnson was hammered in the postgame thing. He was.
Weren't they all? By that time?
Well, you know, it's always, oh, yeah. Well, some of them weren't. I mean, you could tell Jordan Spieth wasn't drinking. Brooksy wasn't, or Bryson DeChambeau was not.
No. What about Brooksy? I would expect Brooksy to have a few.
You know what's funny? When you see someone who you know you can tell doesn't drink that often, and they've already had a couple.
Yeah.
Colin Morikawa.
No, really?
Yeah. He was kind of giggly in the post game and kind of, you know, you can, he just, you know, Dustin Johnson can have some drinks, right? He lives life in the fast lane with Paulina. And so, and he was one of the first matches, so he was done. They were waiting for everything to finish. I'm sure he started, you know, indulging a little bit. And, yeah, then I think it was Dustin Johnson who said, I didn't even know we had to do this media stuff after this. I thought we were going to party.
Ready to go, huh?
Yeah. But, yeah, Colin Morikawa, who was very good this weekend as well, with Dustin Johnson in a lot of cases, he had a couple, too.
They had some good teaming. They teamed the right guys together. It looked like it was fun for the players with their teammates. That was the cool part.
Well, and then the thought that Scottie Scheffler, who had such a good weekend, he was one of the reasons he was the last captain's pick, was to play with Bryson DeChambeau.
Right.
Because, you know, Scottie is from Dallas, and of course, Bryson played at SMU. They've been friends for a while, so that was just a nice friendly pairing, and they put the Florida State guys together, which was good, Berger and Koepka. Which made some sense, and I thought Steve Stricker did a heck of a job, and obviously 19-9 would speak to that, and it was, you know, parallel to a conversation we had Friday about the Longhorns. Is on paper this really shouldn't be a close you know event, the Texas game with Texas Tech and then the Ryder Cup, and in the end both the favored sides showed up and did what they were supposed to do and dominated. I mean, just dominated their opponent.
Like you said, I thought it was going to be just a crushing, and then when the running back came, I said, maybe not. Maybe this guy makes a difference. I saw him play last year. They pretty much bottled him up. He's still a tough runner, but he's not in the same category as number five. I mean, there's nobody on that field in that category right now. There's no one equal, with the exception of maybe the guy from Iowa State, who still is a pretty dynamic player at running back. But nobody is like Bijan right now. When it comes to strength and durability, right now, and the weight. Well, we'll see how durable he is. It's still a long season. I think Sark is really smart in the way they're playing him. There's no reason to run him 25, 30 times. What for? Why? You don't have to.
Well, and because Roshan is a drop-off, but not much. I mean, Roshan's a really good player.
Oh, no, he's a drop-off, but he is a drop-off by much. He's not the same. That's not.
But he can. He's fine, great in the goal line area. He's scoring touchdowns.
That's fine, but there's a drop-off, believe me. That guy at running back number five is a cut
all
above.
I'm saying is the production doesn't drop off when he leaves.
No.
Roshan keeps the ball moving, and the piles keep moving, and you know, he's running through arm tackles like you want. And so the combination of the two is something that Texas can build on. And that becomes the question. You know, the next challenge for Team Ryder Cup, for Team USA with all these young guns, is can they go to Europe and go to Paris and win this thing on visiting soil? That's when you really turn the rivalry. And that's what will turn this program, is when they show they go on the road now. Take this thing on the road, take this high-octane offense, this all-gas, no breaks, and take it and go play against the Gary Patterson defense and keep doing it. Keep being clean, not having penalties, not having turnovers, not punting the football, scoring points, and wearing a team out. Can Texas take that to the Metroplex on this week and then, of course, the following weekend to face what looks to be a not dominant Oklahoma team?
Well, the kid at quarterback is not going to be perfect every game, but there's a sense of this team trusting him as the quarterback, and there's an air of confidence, not arrogance, but there's an air of confidence with this Texas football team. And plus, they got the guy who's calling the plays that put them in good positions, that moves the defense around in order to help out an offensive line that's still very average at best. They played a great game, but the head coach helped move that team around. That three-man front, which thought they were going to play like Arkansas, just got moved around, pushed around, and quite frankly, didn't make any adjustments. They just thought they were, well, we saw the Arkansas game. Our guy's just as strong as our. Well, you're wrong. Your guys are not as strong as the Arkansas kid. And by the way, this coach has figured it out. I'm going to move people around a little bit to give my running back some gaps and some spaces where with this offensive line going bone on bone, it's a little troubling. But Sark has moved guys around. He's going to do the same this week. And I really like
how they got the perimeter a lot against Texas Tech. Got to the edges.
Well, I like the fact that they ran the same play. They didn't care. If you're not going to stop this and you're not going to do anything to move somebody in a spot to stop it, guess what we'll do? We'll continue to run the same play.
Well, especially when these two backs will cut back like they do, right? You get everything flowing to one side, and then that little cutback lane behind it a lot of times as you're shoving guys and pushing them. Bijan, such a great cutback.
Yeah, they make you keep legitimate on the backside.
Yeah, and then those holes were massive. I sit behind the play in the north end zone, and boy, you just see the hole open up and the 1 foot in the ground and go, and it's all of a sudden Bijan's into your secondary, and that's not a place you want him. Plus, Bijan has shown the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and then get into space.
That's
and
just
make
a great play.
Silly.
That's one of the great plays.
What a great run!
That catch and run on the sideline. You know, you're not that guy's supposed to get knocked out of bounds, not pushed, because if you put your hands on him, that's not going to stop him, but you're supposed to make that tackle. You got the sideline as your friend right there, and that guy cut back on you and still beat guys down the sideline, which there wasn't much room, and you had to be able to accelerate. Well, he can accelerate, and like I said, I love Ricky, but Ricky's not as fast as that guy. That guy's fast. The guy's acceleration from 0 to 70 is really quick.
Special player, and the offense is built around him, but other pieces are rising, including Roshan and Xavier Worthy and obviously Casey Thompson. Here's Steve Sarkisian when asked in the postgame about 300 yards rushing, 300 yards passing, really balanced offense, and it was certainly all gas, no breaks with no punts.
If I could get that every week, I'd be a happy man. You know, I think those are it's pretty lofty. But obviously, you know, when we can run the ball, the rest of our offense is a lot more effective in the things that we're going to do. And so, you know, I've said all along, we're a run-first offense. We believe in running the football. It's a mentality. It's a mindset. It's a scheme. It's execution. And I think we're starting to understand that and buy into that aspect of it. And with that, then the efficiency in the passing game comes. You know, I think there's, you know, 23 pass attempts, you know, but we ran the ball 52 times. And so when you can do that and with your efficiency in the passing game, that's when you become very dangerous. And like I said, you know, we still missed a couple opportunities. And so that's where we try to continue to grow as a team and ultimately be the best that we could be.
Yeah, Texas Tech eventually had to, with their two high safeties, they had to have linebackers drag in the middle of the field. Because your young wide receiver was getting to the middle of the field, making catches, and then outrunning your guys or bouncing off of them. But the too high safety look is supposed to be able to help you, but there's still not enough guys at the line of scrimmage. Not for that guy running the ball, because he's going to make somebody miss. Somebody's going to miss him.
Obviously, this will be our first opportunity to see Sark against Gary Patterson, and Gary Patterson has had, obviously, Tom Herman's number, Charlie Strong, and whoever his offensive coordinators were, gosh, we've been through so many of them. Tom Herman had 2 and 3 years offensive coordinators. Charlie Strong had 3 different offensive coordinators in 3 years, and none of them fared very well against the Gary Patterson defense. Mm-hmm. We'll see what Sark can do. As for the defensive side of the ball, if there was a concern from Saturday, obviously the game was never really in doubt as far as, you know, could Texas lose the game, but the defensive lapses late and give, you know, the quarterback, Columbia, some credit. He made some plays and got over Texas's head. Here was Sark when asked about what he'll describe it, but not happy with the defensive letdowns in the second half.
Well, you know, those games are hard. you know, when you get up and you can relax, and I think that's if there's anything coming out of this, that's where, you know, we have to demand there's a standard to which we play at every play, and it, regardless of the score in the game. And, you know, I was not pleased with the fact that they threw the ball over our head 3 times for 2 touchdowns and 1 to get the ball down to the 1-yard line. So that's the beauty of winning but still having things to work on to get better at, because our mental intensity is going to be critical. There's a lot of high-powered offenses in our league, and people aren't going to stop trying to score because we get a lead. They're going to try to score, and our job is to defend the end zone and to get the ball off of them and to get it back to the offense. So we got to play complementary football, and we need to be better in that aspect of it moving forward.
That game like right there was one of those games where, when they say everybody's going to give Texas their best shot, well, that's where you go punch them in the mouth with 70 points. And I think that's the same thing that TCU, they can bring their best game, but I think they get punched right in the face again this week.
Not a good defense for Gary Patterson this week at all. They got steamrolled by West and SMU and could never stop them. But we'll see what the game plan is here.
The Mustangs?
Yeah, the Mustangs.
Come on, Frogs.
350 on the ground. It was like Shades of the Pony Express.
Wow.
Or the Pony Excess back in the day. One other from Coach Sark here in our 8 o'clock hour. People want to know, because he was asked about the I formation on defense when Texas forced the issue with Pete Kwiatkowski. He lined up.
Yeah, that was cool.
He lined up three defensive linemen, one behind the other, and then at the snap, because it was an obvious passing situation. Obviously, it was third and long, so no one was head up over anybody. It was just an I formation. Here was Sark when asked about Coach Pete Kwiatkowski and his creativity on the defensive side.
Oh, it was great. I don't know the exact call, that kind of tower looking deal, but it was just a chance to let those guys kind of work the normal game that they would work and get some one-on-one rush opportunities. But, really, it's been two straight weeks where we've affected the quarterback. And I know the natural thing is to look at the sack number, and that equates to a good pass rush. But it's been two straight weeks where we have affected the quarterback, moved him off the spot, force some errant throws, force some scrambles that maybe don't always result in a sack, but that the pass rush is starting to get home. And I think we're gaining confidence in the coaching of Bo Davis and PK, and these guys are trusting it and they're cutting it loose. I think our blitzers, when they're coming, have been more effective in defeating one-on-ones. They're not accepting getting blocked because a guy's assigned to you. You can still beat the man. And I think that we're getting better at that. And obviously we still need to continue to improve.
Yeah, watching Alfred Collins kind of come into his own, because he was one-on-one with the guard. And by the way, he didn't even have to make a swim move. He head faked that dude. And that guy went out and he went on the inside and was – it's just nice to see him not look like a baby, but like a grown football player, like what his body indicates that he is. He moved his body really, really well in that game.
He catches up to that body and that athleticism.
Yes, man.
With the coaching that he's getting from Bo Davis, he's going to be a terror. We're seeing that early from Xavier Worthy. We'll coach Sark later about his freshman receiver, who's really becoming the go-to receiver in this offense in quick order, had three touchdowns, and he's becoming a favorite of Casey Thompson, and we'll let Sark weigh in on him as well. Also, Craig Way has his Craig Way report coming up. We've got Salacious Gossip and your Monday Blitz. This one should be good. The Longhorns are an easy winner over Tech, and Aggies took a loss. All the stuff from the NFL, Ryder Cup, bring it on the Blitz, coming before the end of this hour. Only as good as you make it.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Casey has it turned, and comes back the other way. It's Jordan Whittington, and Whittington across for the touchdown. Whittington got it. He flipped around the corner, and Jordan takes it in for the score.
Man, Craig Way had a lot to call on Saturday, including Santa Claus. We'll see if we can find this audio. We're going to have Craig, because Craig had to call Santa running on the field. He did a good job. But a lot of highlights for the Longhorns. 10 touchdowns scored, 9 on offense, 1 on defense with Josh Thompson's Viking fence, defensive play of the game, the pick 6 on the final throw for Tyler Shuck, the Texas Tech quarterback. That is your Viking fence defensive play of the game. Always good to get a pick 6, but that was an easy one because the ball, apparently they put him in there and he had a cracked collarbone or something, and you could see the ball came out of his hand, nothing on it at all. I mean, it was just floating.
Yeah, he was rubbing his shoulder after that touchdown run. He came up with his shoulder kind of looking funny, feeling funny, and he threw a really flutter ball out there for an interception for a touchdown. The big hit of the day was, people are asking about the kid who got knocked out of bounds, came back in, got himself back in position. He really, really did. I mean, he got pushed out. He got back in, established himself, and then cut inside. And I don't know who that was that hit his own guy, but he damn near knocked his head off. I don't know if it was Schooler or whichever safety came across. he layered the boom on the cornerback.
Yeah, man.
But no, that's all you have to do is get back in college football and get your established positioning back again. So
in the NFL, it's a penalty if you are the first person to touch the ball after going out of bounds and coming back. I saw that play called a couple times this weekend in NFL games. But, yes, it's a different in the
if
college
if you get
rule.
Pushed out. You can't just step out.
Well, yes. Well, yeah, if you get pushed out and you didn't go out on your own, you can get back in. You can get back in. NFL, it's neither. Now, there can be a judgment there. But either way, NFL Week 3 will wrap up tonight with Monday Night Football. Cowboys-Eagles. Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite. I do have a Vegas power poll I like to look at, Buck, that has this as a closer game than that. They actually have the Eagles as 2 points better than the Cowboys.
Because of that defense, huh?
But the Cowboys would get home field advantage, so that's the -3.
Yeah.
So they really have this game as a one-point game in favor of Dallas, if you're looking at the Vegas power poll. Now, I know we know gambling money coming in. A lot of people bet Cowboys, especially the way they've played. So the line is 2, 3.5. What does your gut tell you on this game tonight that we'll have for you right here on the Horn?
Is that the first home game or no?
It's the home opener. That is correct.
Oh, I like Cowboys. That for Dak and this offense to really show off at home.
It's really about that defense for the Eagles, though. Can they? What do they have? This is where they'll find out if their secondary is improved, right? When they were playing San Francisco last week and Atlanta in week one. I know Atlanta has Calvin Ridley, but
Atlanta actually beat the Giants.
Yeah.
Wow.
I am, we talk good, bad, and ugly. I mean, the ugly, there was some ugly yesterday. There was a lot of good. I mean, the Justin Tucker kick is legendary. Matt Stafford and the Rams are really good. They got hot. I mean, they're a handful. I think Tampa Bay is a good football team, obviously, the defending champions, and they make them look silly. And the Cowboys now know that the L.A. Chargers are a real good team because they went into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are lucky they're not 0-3 at this point because the Browns had them beat.
Mm-hmm.
And now they lost to the Ravens and Chargers in back-to-back weeks. But the ugly is the Cowboys division because I have just been blown away by how bad the Washington football team has been through 3 weeks for Ron Rivera. They went to Buffalo yesterday and were non-competitive. You know, before that game, Ron Rivera, here's a stat. Ron Rivera, since coming to Washington, had not won or lost a game by more than 8 points. I mean, everything's up close. Everything's in tight. They got blown off the field by a really good Buffalo team. That was not competitive on either side. And your guys say Taylor Heinicke, not a good day for him. Not a good day. And then the Giants turn around and lose to my, early slump buster, the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes. At home, I know.
And now you realize that game we saw last Thursday night with Washington and New York Giants were just two bad football teams. Turned out to be a fun finish.
That's what it was.
That's just two bad teams. And, God, so the Cowboys, can you take care of the Eagles tonight and go ahead and just announce that we are the team to beat in this division and it's not going to be close? Because it shouldn't be. Let's be fair about that. It shouldn't be.
Yes. Just like I'm still shaking my head over my 10,000-unit play, Matt Campbell and the Iowa State Cyclones. What the hell is that? You bring all these studs back, and what do they do? You know what they didn't do? They didn't do any hitting. Remember, they were just going through steps because he thought he had a veteran team like it was an NFL
team.
That
was during spring.
Yeah.
During spring.
Yeah. Well, guess what they are? They're not an NFL team, and they need to hit because they're not hitting anybody.
Well, they hit in training camp, but you're right. I mean, they're going to be questioning everything that Matt Campbell has done to get this team ready for this season because it was preseason team to beat along with Oklahoma, and they've been all too beatable. Barely beat Northern Iowa, got trucked by Iowa State, Iowa already, and then Baylor in Waco.
Yeah, they're supposed to be a playoff team.
Nope.
No, they're not. You're right.
Which, to our Cowboys conversation and Ryder Cup, and now Longhorns, hey, it's right in front of you. There's nothing stopping Texas from being in the Big 12 title game, except for themselves, in my opinion.
Right.
And that's a great message for Sark. Should be a great message for Mike McCarthy.
That guy is saying the word championship, and that is what you love to hear. I love that. That's not one of those, it's too soon to be talking, you haven't played. No, it's not too soon to be talking about it. You're getting better every week. You shouldn't be backing away from the fact that you've got a pretty good team in this league that's struggling. Everybody is. Oklahoma's struggling. I mean, you thought K-State was going to.
Caleb.
You know what? You thought K-State was going to go and take care of Oklahoma State? Not so fast.
Well, you got the feast or famine, Spencer Sanders. Sanders was feast.
And you got the quarterback from K-State, who they're missing, and the other guy played like he did when he was a freshman. He's just giving the ball away.
Yeah.
Again.
Will the pill? Will spill the pill, Howard?
Right.
With K-State? No, and then there's Spencer Sanders, and when you say feast or famine, I watched him play against Boise the week previous, and he was terrible. But then when he's good, he's good. I mean, that guy is, there's no in between with Spencer Sanders. He's either all conference looking or just right. dreadful. And I think you can say the same thing for the quarterback that Texas will face this week, Max Duggan. He's either real good, and usually it's against Texas, or he's not any good.
If you're in the Specs text line and you tell us about Purdy, I told you so. You don't have to say that to us because we already knew that guy was the guy that was holding them back last year.
But it's not just him right now. They're not playing well on defense with that veteran
defense.
No,
their offensive line isn't doing very much.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's so the Big 12 is there for you. And it's like the Cowboys. The division is there for you. Go improve week to week, get better, mm-hmm. build around what you're doing. And like, because your division is trash. I mean, Washington has regressed. They won this division a year ago, and they had this defense that was going to be vaunted. I mean, they had no answer. I mean, they could have scored 60 points in Buffalo if they wanted to
easily.
In that game with Josh Allen. I mean, they were just non-competitive. I don't know what has happened with Ron Rivera's teams because it felt like that team was going to take a step forward along with the Cowboys. It might be the Eagles. Do we have any issue? We didn't talk about this last week because we were so busy with other stuff, but that the first-year head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni, wore to a press conference last week a shirt that said, "Beat the Cowboys." Just a T-shirt. Said, "Beat the Cowboys."
Really?
Or no, it said, "Beat Dallas."
Cool.
And they asked him about it. He was wearing a T-shirt. Said, "Beat Dallas." And he said, you know, since I've got here, every time I run into an Eagles fan, they say, "Hey, beat Dallas."
Yeah, of course.
"Hey, beat Dallas."
That's right.
So he said, you know what? So I have a T-shirt. It says, "Beat Dallas."
Yeah.
And I apparently that became some type of a national controversy.
This could be a high-scoring event tonight.
You don't think coaches want to beat the other team they're playing each week? Of course they do.
Yes, they do.
It's just a T-shirt. That's not going to decide the outcome of the game.
Yeah, and the more I see of Pat Mahomes, that one throw for an interception yesterday, oh my goodness. You're talking about throwing it up for grabs.
Was
that a fourth down? No, that was a third down pass.
No, they could have punted. No, that was a terrible mistake by Patrick Mahomes. And that's the number one word you use for the Chiefs early in this season. They're careless. They're careless with the football.
Turning the ball over, yeah.
You know, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled in a big spot against the Chargers. And listen, the Chiefs' defense is not good enough to lose possessions by turning the ball over. They win because they overwhelm you with offense and then are opportunistic on defense when they've got it and someone's trying to chase them down. If you're trying to go possession by possession with a good team like the Chargers and you're going to give it away like they did, Tyreek Hill had a fumble in that game. Clyde Edwards had one. You know, Pat Mahomes made a terrible, terrible decision late.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, and Andy Reid, seriously, if you watch that Browns-Chiefs game week one, Browns had that game in control. Their punter dropped a punt, which turned out to be a big flip. And then Kareem Hunt had a fumble. I mean, the Chiefs are very lucky not to be 0-3 to start this season. And yes, they've had a tough schedule to start this season, but at the same time, they're very lucky to be even 1-2 at this point.
No doubt. But congratulations to Coach Aranda. That's a nice win for them.
Oh, no question.
They had a big crowd there.
Ranked now.
And defensively, he still gets after it on the defense, right?
Well, to Dave
Is their quarterback good enough, though?
Well, we'll see. Bohannon, the more he plays, the more tape they'll be.
Yes.
I still think he's kind of sneaking up on some people with what he can and can't do. Maybe the same will be said for Casey Thompson here in Austin. But
you know what? They lost a lot of guys on defense last year. They had some really studs on that defensive front for Baylor last year and were in a lot of games because of the defense. Those guys are gone, Ian. They got new guys that just
– good development going on.
Yeah.
And look, I feel bad for Dave Aranda because he's just a soft-spoken guy, but he was one of those. That's a rough situation to have your first year be COVID, right? You take over your first head coaching job, and it's COVID. It's like that is really, really difficult. And you're replacing a guy as popular as Matt Rhule.
It's true, and won games.
Yeah, I mean, Dave Aranda, gosh, he's been considered one of the best defensive minds in college football for a long time. He was at Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was at LSU when they won the national championship. So there should be little doubt that Dave Aranda is going to put a good defense on the field. But, nothing against Baylor, and I know it was in Waco, but you just expected more from this Iowa State team in a year where they all came back to be a part of something special. They've been anything but.
They don't. They look very like we're it, kind of. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got this.
Where's this five-star culture we speak of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, same could be said for Oklahoma. They're 4-0, but boy, there is nothing special about them.
No. Except for number 11.
Yeah.
There's something special about that dude, man.
Yeah, and so they look all too beatable by someone who can line it up and get after them. I mean, could that be Texas? We'll see. We're 2 weeks from that game. First things first, it's TCU on Saturday. And we'll have Steve Sarkisian.
What's that line?
I get right now it's 4.
No,
it's 4.
Yeah. I'm 6-6 now, by the way. Six. I had 2 5,000-unit winners.
So the juice is killing us now.
The juice is just crushing you people. That 10,000-unit play
the VIG is demoralizing.
Wow.
But hey, you're back to even, right? Now you can only go up from here. Do you have a pick on tonight's game? Would that be any part of a lock scenario for you?
No.
I believe the value is in the points. I think the Cowboys win, but this could be another one of those games that finishes at the buzzer. Because I'm still not sold on
the
Cowboys.
Think a lot of points. Could be a lot of points.
Good chance because Jalen Hurts can run and throw.
Yes.
Which can buy time to create against a bad secondary.
Parsons coming for him, though.
I know.
He can catch him.
But the Cowboys are winning because they're getting turnovers. They're winning. Just talked about the Chiefs. Chiefs are losing because they're turning the ball over. Cowboys have the best turnover margin in the league. Problem be, if the Eagles don't turn the ball over, teams are moving the ball still on Dallas. They're just turning the ball over.
Right.
If there's the value. If the Eagles can prevent turnovers, they'll be in this game, and it could turn out like these last second games we've watched all over the place yesterday. Could be a final possession kind of thing, because I do think the Cowboys will score. But I don't think it'll be as easy as some might think. That Eagles defense is good. That defensive front is excellent. And coming up in Salacious Gossip, can I give you the latest on Lael Collins, who will not play right tackle for the Cowboys tonight, and how much of a goofball this guy appears to be? I'll get you that in Salacious Gossip. And then you're loading up your blitz. Bring it on a Monday. First, though, it's Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Oh, man, it is Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light. That's Bud Light for all of your Bud Light occasions, including tonight, Cowboys Monday Night Football wrapping up week 3, and ACL Festival is this weekend. College and pro football, just rock 'em, sock 'em, and nothing better than a nice cold Bud Light. Makes the good times great, great times unforgettable. It's why it's the world's favorite light beer. As we get you rolling in Salacious Gossip, thoughts to Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, Buck. You know, after they lost to the Chargers yesterday, at home, he was rushed to taken to a hospital, fell ill. He had to go by ambulance.
A little dehydrated, was he?
Yeah, not sure, but he seems to be doing okay, but no word yet, but hoping the best. He had to lose the game, and then there you go. Also, Buck, over the time, right, there's been a lot of dumb Cowboys, is that fair to say? Dumb Dallas Cowboys that do dumb things?
Yes.
Remember Pac-Man Jones back in the day?
Yes.
I mean, guys, the list goes on. But this I'm going to go ahead and put this up there and nominate it as the dumbest. So Lael Collins, who is the starting right tackle for your Dallas Cowboys out of LSU, turns out, according to Adam Schefter, was not suspended by the NFL for missing drug tests, which was the believed-to-be reason.
Right.
It was that not only did he miss some drug tests, but he tried to bribe a NFL drug tester. Bribe them, which didn't work.
That's crazy, man.
Before the suspension was announced, Mr. Briber, what had he bribed him with? Cash?
Oh,
most
yeah.
Most likely? You know, I don't know. But so the NFL Players Union, representing their constituents, argued with the NFL before the suspension was announced and actually got the 5-game suspension reduced to 2. Well, then Lael Collins, dummy, appealed the 2-game suspension, to which then the NFL came back and said, you know what? We're sticking with 5. We're sticking with 5.
Since you want more, we're going to give you more now.
You're not. So yeah. We've already reduced this from 5 to 2 on behalf of the Players Association, who's going to work with you on this. So if Lael Collins, who allegedly tried to bribe a drug tester, would have simply said, okay, I'll take the 2. He would have missed last week's game with the Chargers and then this game tonight with the Eagles, but we'll be back next week for Carolina, who's, by the way, undefeated. Instead, he's going to miss 5 games all the way into October.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. Hey, no, you got that guy. No, this guy, no, you got that guy. That guy right there, no. Well, I think I got this guy. No, you got that guy.
So we got it from 5 to 2. They got you, you know, dead to rights on this bribery thing. Can we go ahead and just take the 2 games?
Trying to bribe a guy. Whew.
Oh.
Not so good.
Gosh, go Cowboys tonight.
No,
Cowboys.
He's an idiot.
Well, that's just not very smart.
No.
It's just not very.
That's poor timing at all times.
Yes. Now, he also, in his appeal, he argued that one of the drug tests he missed was when the Cowboys' strength conditioning coach passed away last fall. Remember that? When he suddenly died? I think they looked into that and said that was not accurate. That's not one of the ones we're talking about here, Leal. So, just take your two games. Get back on the football field.
Now he's got to wait four, right?
Yeah, it'll be four. It's a five-game suspension. So what could have been two will be five for your Dallas Cowboys.
By the way, good job there, Jerry, in the end zone, celebrating with your boys from Arkansas after the game.
Hey, Jerry, I believe he was at
proud
the game
alum.
With Texas. Well, he's got to be proud. If you're an Arkansas fan, you beat Texas and Texas A&M. And did it pretty resoundingly. It was only 20-10 with the Aggies, but that game just felt like Aggies didn't have much shot against that defense. And yeah,
no.
Hey, well, listen, they haven't been ranked in the top 10 and 4-0 since 2003 at Arkansas. That's been a bit since they've been ranked this high.
But they were good last year with their three wins.
So Jerry and all the Hogs are pretty excited. Now, what can they be in the vaunted SEC West? They've already gotten A&M. You got Alabama, Ole Miss. Can they be a factor in this?
Could be.
Ranked eighth. Kendall Briles doing a nice job. Barry Odom on defense.
Yeah, they scheme you up pretty good on defense. He is doing a great job.
And I would agree with you, having watched most of that game after I got home from the Texas game, if they stick with that quarterback, that's not the last time A&M loses this year.
No.
I don't have another guy.
I don't care how great they play defense. If that's going to be your quarterback from this point on, you got two more in you.
Especially with that offensive line that just hasn't come together. They've got they got Green the stud, but the rest are still struggling.
And we knew that from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, and much like Texas fans were frustrated with the five-man line not being able to block three Razorbacks, same thing happened a lot on Saturday.
It did.
It's not pretty. All right, there's your gossip. Let's get to your blitz. They're loaded up on a Monday.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Texas says, hey, when Texas lost to Arkansas, y'all wrote the whole team off saying they were horrible. And they were. Yes, they were horrible. First blitz, or you're up.
Yeah, I bet the Aggies are missing Fruit of the Loom King right now.
Yeah, you are kind of missing him right now. Next blitz, or you're up. King.
Oh, no! The Giants sucked again!
Oh, that can't be.
Football
can't be.
In the Big Apple,
it
not
to the
so hot.
Falcons. Next blitz, or you're up.
Yeah, does anybody know the percentage of this drive that Casey has led to a score?
Yes.
It's got to be in the high 80s.
20 of the last 23.
They're following
19 touchdowns.
They're following that dude, and he's studying it up. Next blitzer, you're up.
Yeah. Hey, this is the Pastor Smasher.
Hi, Smasher.
The best blitzer of all time. Yeah, so I'm taking 15,000-unit play, Eagles over Cowboys tonight.
Ooh, Smasher's going big. I'm not going that direction. No way. Mm-mm. Next blitzer, you're up. We got caught up. Next blitzer, talk to us.
Wow. Phone issues on a Monday.
Yeah, he's got a little hesitation in his phone. Next blitzer, talk to us.
Yeah, this is Newton. Hey, Lyle Collins. I can talk about an offensive lineman making dumb decisions.
Well, thank you very much.
Big Nate Newton.
Yeah, pretty much. Next blitzer, you're up.
How about Horns beat the Frogs and the Hogs beat Dogs. Woo, Pig Suey.
Yeah, Pig Suey going after it. Next blitzer, you're up.
Question of the day. How will Jackass Jones handle Big Jimmy Johnson in the house?
In the house. Jackass. They call him Jackass Jones. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, we may have lost the game on yesterday, but I look really good on that Subway commercial. This is Tom Brady.
It does look good in that commercial. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, baby Archie, this is Coach Sark. Did you see that 70 we just dropped on Texas Tech? You should ask your uncle Pepe what that's called. Good old-fashioned teabagging.
Is that what it's called? Well, Peyton had some hijinks in college at Tennessee.
Wow. Next blitzer, you're up.
B&E.
Yeah. Yes.
Say, I told y'all Jameson was going to take one back, but if it wasn't for the sideline, he might have went all the way.
That's why they have a sideline little cat.
Shut it down!
If it wasn't for the sideline,
yeah, that's
something.
Yeah, DeShaun Jameson, though, is a weapon on punt return. There's no doubt in the Cowboys.
He is.
The Longhorns almost had another block punt. Should have had another block punt. That's fun to watch.
I got to work with Jameson's hips. I got to work. Because I got some great movement in my hips.
No, you don't.
When I have great movement in my hips.
Back in the day.
Yes.
Short area quickness.
Yes.
Hey, so to the Arch Manning discussion, there is a report from Sports Illustrated this morning that SportsIllustrated.com that Arch Manning has narrowed his choices of schools to Georgia and Texas. Which, if that's true, if that's accurate, he's blazing his own trail. He's not going to follow his Uncle Peyton to Tennessee or his Uncle Eli to Ole Miss or Grandpa to Ole Miss.
Ooh.
But we'll see that, according to a report at SportsSI.com, that Arch Manning has narrowed his choices to Georgia and Texas. Loves the relationship with Sark and A.J. Milwee. And, hey, who doesn't want to live in Austin, Texas?
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Bring me some more of those war daddies, though.
That's class of 2023, by the way. Just a junior. Mm-hmm. Just a junior. We'll be back when we do more of this conversation, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. Also, continue to preview Cowboys-Eagles tonight, Monday Night Football, coming your way, part of a busy Monday on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com.